Good morning. It is time for our weekly visit with Soy Roy, Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, as we get an update on the markets. A day early this week because, Roy, tomorrow is Christmas Day, and big plans for this weekend, Roy, or not?
Merry Christmas, and yeah, my plans are to be moving snow this week, so that's not what I want to do, but it's what I'm probably going to have to do.
Now, earlier this week, we were talking about you were going to be at the Saunders County at their grain marketing meeting, and you had to do that one via voice conference call, huh?
I did. I did it by a conference call because I left about 6:30 in the morning to go to the ARDC, and I got as far as Louisville and decided I really didn't have to go to that meeting after all. We could do it remotely, and so I turned around and came back home. It was raining pretty hard, and the temperature was just 32 degrees, and I got a little scared of what might happen.
Now, being that you were able to at least talk to some of the producers or present your information, maybe we can summarize that here this morning. And something that we talk about a lot on our weekly show is the dead cat bounce charts, and you had some updated information to show them, right?
Right. I had the dead cat bounce chart current through Tuesday, I guess it was, and the dead cat bounce chart really looks like that we've probably seen the high temporarily. Now, that could just be totally wrong when we get into the new year, but each time the market has gone up and made a price peak, it seems like it's been a little harder for it to get there. And we did have a peak on, let me look at my table here, on December 16th of $10.10 a bushel cash bid for soybeans at the Midwest Co-op. And so since that time, it's backed off quite a bit, but you know, it's the time of year when you expect the dead cat bounce to kind of run out of steam, and so it doesn't surprise me very much.
Now, that's one side of the argument, but you also presented the other side that that showed continued strength into the new year, into the first 3 months of the new year, right?
Yes, that's the case. One of the things that I found interesting in the commentaries that I've been hearing for the last couple of months is that, well, yeah, the soybean price is good now, but wait till the South American crop comes on, this price is going to fall out of bed. It's going to drop dramatically. And I can't say that won't happen, but as I look at a chart of the most recent 10 years from 2000 to 2009 and then go back to the previous 10 years, as the South American crop has become a bigger part of the world soybean trade, there has been a tendency to have better prices in the spring when South America is harvesting their beans. Now, you would think that that would be just backwards. You'd think when a big South American crop comes on that the price would go down, but in fact, it hasn't. It has become more bullish or more of an uptrend in recent years than it was in the previous 10 years.
That's interesting commentary, and, you know, we were trying to figure out why that might be, and, you know, I know in the last couple of years they've been talking about these huge soybean crops coming out of South America, and then when they get to harvesting, something always happens that changes that, huh?
Well, it seems like the market has become more sensitive to production risk in the southern hemisphere, and that's the only explanation I can come up with, and then, you know, possibility, like you say, that everybody's talking a big crop, but when it finally gets here, it maybe isn't quite that big. So we'll see what happens in 2010 because we're right in the middle of it right now. We're just kind of between the U.S. harvest, which is past, and the South American harvest, which is coming up. And in the meantime, we've got this variability in the soybean prices to deal with.
Roy, I understand you've crunched some numbers on cost of production for 2010. What do some of those numbers look like?
Yeah, the cost of production on corn, of course, is down fairly substantially. I looked at last year's numbers compared to this year's numbers, and the cost per bushel based on my average yield the last 10 years. In 2009, I figured it was $3.57 a bushel for corn, and in 2010, my budget shows $3.18 a bushel. So it's down about 40 cents or something like that. Now, that's not the case with soybeans, and the two primary reasons for that. First of all, this year I priced my soybean seed with everything treated with Acceleron seed treatment, and that's somewhat expensive. But the other thing is that for soybeans, fertilizer is much less of a factor, and I saw the price, or yeah, projected price on nitrogen fertilizer on corn, for instance, dropped from $86 an acre to $45 an acre. So right there is a huge factor in what it's going to cost to grow the crop next year.
Well, now that, you know, since you've kind of crunched the numbers, it kind of gives us a little bit of a benchmark. Any way to start marketing possibly some of that 2010 crop, huh?
Well, it does. I mean, that's why I did it, because I think, even though I've never been a big fan of using cost of production to trigger sales, if you look at projected cost of production that's way less than what the market's offering, why, you know, maybe you ought to take a look at it. And the numbers I had, for instance, 318 a bushel for corn, and by the way, that number is affected dramatically, of course, by your land cost and machinery cost, but 318 a bushel compared to a current cash bid of 372, you know, that's pretty nice profit if you're going to be able to produce the corn. Now, soybeans are not quite as favorable, because my numbers show $8.33 a bushel cost of production on the beans, and the bid on beans at the co-op is $8.92. So it's still theoretically profitable, but not quite as much percentage-wise as for corn.
Kind of have to wrap things up here this morning. Just some final thoughts. You know, we're in the midst of two holiday weeks. What are the main things to watch for now?
Well, really, the thing to watch for is that thin trade makes prices volatile, and so it doesn't take much to move the market one way or the other. And I guess if you get a price that you like, for some reason you have a day when the market shoots up dramatically higher, nothing wrong with selling some, even though the price might be a little phony, I guess I'd say, based on speculative trading, but still money is money regardless of how you get it. And so, you know, don't get so preoccupied with enjoying the holiday and with scooping snow that you forget to watch the markets.
All right. Well, hopefully they have the radio on when they're scooping their snow.
You listen to KTIC in the tractor cab when you're pushing snow, and kill two birds with one stone.
There you go. Perfect plan. For folks that want more information, there are several ways to get that.
Roy@soyroy.com, my email address. Soyroy.com, my website.
Always good to talk to you, sir. Merry Christmas, and we'll try it again next week.
Okay, I'll be here.
Soy Roy, Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, and an update on the markets at KTIC.